tonight, please. Turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. You know, I know of a number of churches that would like to have a choir that big. And what a blessing it is for us tonight. What a victory. When you think of the Passion Week, as Christ made his way down into Jerusalem, you think of what all took place throughout the week. You came to, well, traditionally, Friday, when he was hung upon the cross, gave us victory over our sin. And then you come to Resurrection Sunday, the culmination of it all leaves us victorious. Victory over death in the grave. Jesus paid it all. It brings great blessing to our lives as believers. Blessing, according to the International Bible Encyclopedia, is the bestowal of good. Think of the man Job. You're all familiar with the story of Job, and you come to the last chapter, chapter 42 and verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. But God gave a blessing. You know, he had much, he lost it all, but God blessed him with even more. And you and I, we might have thought we had something. It was lost, but God, in his mercy and his grace, gave us a blessing. He gave us new life, life eternal. Easton, in his dictionary, says, God blesses his people when he bestows on them some gift, temporal or spiritual. And I'm sure all of us here tonight have probably experienced both. A temporal blessing in our life and also a spiritual blessing in our life. And there is the blessing of the cross, the blessing of the crucifixion. Thank you, Will. I appreciate that. And I couldn't help it, Bill. The blessing of the cross, the crucifixion, the cross, Christ's death, provides a blessing of sins forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood that forgives us sins according to the riches of his grace. And through Christ's crucifixion, we have the blessing of peace. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. By the crucifixion, by Christ's death on the cross, you have the blessing of a hope in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Also, because of the crucifixion, because of the cross, there is the blessing of being able to come into the presence of God. We have access to God in Luke chapter 23 and verse 45. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. You know, the Old Testament high priest could only go into the inner part there once a year on the Day of Atonement. But because of Christ's death on the cross, it has opened us and we can come directly. We do not have to go through some priest. We are priests. And we have access to God. And when Jesus spoke of his pending crucifixion, he also spoke of the fact that he would rise again. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hand of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorrowful. But we have that great blessing that comes to us through the crucifixion, but there's also the great blessing of the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read these verses. We're only going to be looking at two or three of them, but I want to read all nine verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great victory that is ours through your crucifixion and your resurrection. We're thankful, Father, that you were willing to send your Son. He came with one purpose, and that is to go to the cross to provide salvation for all of mankind. I pray, Lord, if there happens to be one in the hearing of my voice tonight, whether it be here in person or watching on TV or radio, whatever it might be, who know not Christ as their Savior, that tonight they would turn to him by faith and have the victory in their lives as well. I ask, God, that you would guide and direct in the next few moments as we look into your word. I ask you to protect my lips, that I not speak anything amiss, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The blessing of the resurrection. And just as Jesus gave victory through his crucifixion, we can enjoy the blessing through his resurrection. I want to look at just a couple of them tonight. And, you know, we could spend as much time as pastor preaches, but we won't tonight. We'll just look at a few things. First of all, the blessing of the resurrection is a living hope. The blessing of the resurrection is a living hope. Look again at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you look at that verse, first of all, I see the security of our hope. As we looked at hope several times, but mentioned it just briefly this evening, without Christ, we have no hope. The world in general tonight is hopeless. They just have no hope. They have no future. They're without hope. But because of Christ's finished work on Calvary, you and I have a new hope. We have a blessed hope. In reality, we have a hope which we did not have prior to our salvation. We were hopeless. And through our salvation, God gives us a new hope. The word Peter uses here gives the thought of that which is living in contrast to that which is dead. It is not a cold hope that we have, but one with living power. It's not merely a sentiment or it's a speculation, but that which is vital to one's spiritual welfare. The hope that is ours is very vital in our lives. In Romans, in chapter 8, verses 24 and verse 25, for we are saved by hope, But hope that is seen is not hope, but what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Verse 25, but we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, the hope that we have is not in vain. It's not empty. It is living a hope. And that hope that is ours, that resurrected life that Christ provided, shows God's great love for mankind, shows that God was satisfied with the payment that Christ made on our behalf. The living hope gives assurance that the believer's hope is certain. It is real. It's not like the hope given by the world. It's not the hope that is given by religion. It's not false. It's not deceptive. It's not empty. It's not just a simple wishful thinking, but rather, because of the fact that Christ is living, we too will live. And because of the fact that it is a living hope, it's a hope that continues to grow. It's a hope that becomes stronger as we look forward to the future and as we live in our life right now. It is ours through an act of faith, looking to the resurrected Christ. And so the security of our hope, it's a certain hope. It's a definite hope. But then I want us to see the source of our hope. Notice again what Peter says is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus. By the means of or through the resurrection of Jesus. Our hope, our assurance is based on the fact that Christ, through the power of the Spirit of God, overcame death and the grave. Christ did not rise from the dead. Excuse me, Christ did rise from the dead. So he could take time, we could take time, although Pastor mentioned several of this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It was interesting. I have a schedule that I follow in my Bible reading, and my Bible reading for this morning, according to that schedule, was 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what a blessing it was to just sit and read and to meditate upon that great victory that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ did rise from the dead. And again, we could take the time to look at a number of those proofs. There are a great number of them. You know, I think of doubting Thomas, and Christ has showed him the nail prints in his hands and his feet. Again, a proof of his resurrection. As sure as he did rise, is alive today, so you and I one day will live. In fact, we're living right now. Physically, yes, but we're living spiritually. We have new life right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to get it. It's ours right now. It's our possession right now. In John chapter 14 and verse 29, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus, by his resurrection, became the guarantee of our resurrection. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. In order for us to have a living hope, it has to have a secure basis, a sound basis. And ours is a living hope because it's based upon the living Savior. It is having a personal relationship with that living Savior. You know, I'm convinced that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning. Now, we might not see it because it's cloud cover. In fact, the last forecast I saw at sunrise tomorrow morning, it's going to be snowing. Aren't you happy about that? No, we might not see it, but even if it's nice and clear tomorrow morning, there's several of you, or some of you, maybe a few of you, will not see it, because you'll still be in bed. And But I'm convinced that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning. How can I be convinced of that? Because for thousands and thousands and thousands of morning, the sun is risen. And just as it always has, it is going to rise again. It's not because I have any great knowledge of the future, but you know, in the same way, I have a living hope, an assurance of a resurrection unto eternal life based on the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. That's the source of my hope. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered the grave. And my wife and I had the great privilege of going to Israel. And we went down to the garden tomb, at least where they say he was buried. And now they have a wooden door that closes that at night. And on that door it says, he is not here. He is risen. And what a blessing that is, that we have that assurance. And because Christ arose, we too will have life. It's based on the fact that Jesus, through his mercy and grace, has begotten us again unto a living hope. He has taken us from being dead in our trespasses and sins and has given us new life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 4 down to verse 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a living hope, and as such, it grows, it becomes greater, he becomes more marvelous as we go through this life. And so we see the blessing of the resurrection is a living hope. And then secondly, we see the blessing of the resurrection is an inheritance. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The hope that we have is that we have an inheritance. An inheritance awaiting for us. In reality, it's ours right now. We just have not experienced it yet, totally. But as you look at this verse, first of all, look at the quality of our inheritance. Look briefly at the description of our inheritance. First of all, Peter says it is non-destructible. It cannot be destroyed by opposing forces. You know, most of us will have the joy of having an inheritance someday. A pastor might receive an inheritance one day. It won't be much. And I'm going to spend it all everywhere I go. But, that inheritance can be destroyed. It can vanish away. It can become worthless. But not our inheritance from Christ. It is indestructible. It cannot be destroyed by the opposing foes. It is undefiled. It cannot be stained or cheapened. It is pure. You know, this world that we live in is a wicked world. This world is a sinful world. But that which we will receive will be undefiled. It cannot be stained or cheapened. You know, sometimes I just like to daydream. In fact, I do it as much as I can. What is heaven going to be like? We're not absolutely sure. You know, we can from the Bible, we can get some glimpses of what it's going to be like. But I think it's going to be much more than we ever can think of. It's going to be more than marvelous. It's going to be a blessing. And our inheritance is going to be indestructible. It's going to be undefiled. And it will not fade away. It'll never grow old. It'll never wear out. It'll never lose its value. It is unchanging. For all of eternity, it's going to be the same. And we won't get tired of it either. And what a blessing it is going to be. We do not have to worry that we will find it ever worthless. It is indestructible. It's just as indestructible as God's word is. Flip over a page in 1 Peter. Or at least in my Bible, you flip over a page. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. His word is indestructible. The inheritance he's giving us is indestructible. So we see the quality of our inheritance. And then we see the guarantee of our inheritance. Reserved in heaven. What's the next two words? For you. For each and every one of us who have put our faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is guaranteed. Now, most of us here this evening have at some time purchased something, and along with that purchase, you received a guarantee. And that particular thing that you purchased down the road a day or two, or maybe a little bit longer, it quit running. Or it makes all kinds of weird sounds and everything, and so you call the company that you bought it from, gave the guarantee, and you find out that guarantee is very limited, or maybe not even worth the paper that it was written on. But thank God, our inheritance is not that way. It's guaranteed for us. It's based on the promise of Christ in John chapter 14. Verses 1 down through verse 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if or since I go to and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have a guarantee based upon the promise of God. And God keeps every promise that he ever made. When you think of an inheritance, we see it as something that will be ours when the person willing it to us dies. The inheritance we have in Christ is a legal claim that belongs to us, even though Christ is alive. And because of the fact he is alive is what makes it so sure. It is ours right now. As Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Guarantee of a full inheritance. The sure inheritance is a blessing of the Lord's resurrection. And the third blessing of the resurrection we want to look at tonight is eternal security. In verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a blessing. My wife and I, she was raised in a Lutheran church. I was raised in an evangelical covenant church. And when we got married, the Lord put us in a situation where we eventually got brought into a Baptist church in Durango, Colorado, Promised Land. And we attended the church. I was in the finance business at that time, and I got transferred down to Durango, Colorado, and got to work a little early that morning, wanted to meet the branch manager, and hadn't been there very long, and this tall drink of water came to the door. The door was still locked. He knocked on the door, and he said, he introduced himself to me, and he asked the branch manager, can I go out to coffee with this man? And the branch manager said, sure. So we walked down. It was about a block to the little coffee shop that we would go to, and in my mind, I thought, you know, because this guy was the sales manager of the big GM car dealership there in town. And I thought, this guy has a couple of bad deals, and he's tried every bank, he's tried every finance company, and they've all turned him down, and so he's going to see if he can get it pushed onto this new man in town. And we got down to the coffee shop, and I'm saved, so I don't drink coffee, and I ordered my tea, he just asked about my family, and then out of the clear blue sky, he says, if you die today, where would you spend eternity? He wasn't interested in pushing a bad deal on me. He was wanting to know where my soul was. And what a blessing that was. And so we started attending that church. Dr. Wayne Van Gilderen Sr. was the pastor of that church. And we thought these Baptists were kind of crazy people. But they had a softball team. And so we kept going. And we just fell in love with that. But just a blessing of being there. And but, you know, when I came out of the Covenant Church and my family started saying, you think that you're saved for all of eternity? You have eternal security? How can you know that? And praise God, I do. I have eternal security. And it is that because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus alone is our means of salvation. And Jesus is our salvation, our hope, is a living hope. Our inheritance is secure. It's guarded by the one who has power above all powers. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not kept by myself. I'm not kept by what I do. I'm not kept in any other way but by the power of God. You know, have you ever started a project and never quite finished it? Up in West Salem, we started a church. We were there for several years. We started a church. And of course, when you start a church, your income from a church is minimal or nothing. And so I drove a bus to help out with our income. And I often drove the sports team. And I enjoyed that because I could drop the sports team off and then I could sit in the bus and study and prepare messages and so forth. And I in the spring, I enjoyed being part of the park close to the track as I could. And so I could hear the gun go off, and I could look up and then watch the race, and then I could go back to studying again and so forth. But I often went up to Black River Falls from West Salem. And about halfway between West Salem and Black River Falls, there was a house off of the right-hand side as I went towards Black River Falls, and all it was a foundation about 3 feet off the ground, out of the ground. And you could tell people were living there because every time I went by, there was different cars that were there, and in the one corner, there was this structure. It was about 8-9 feet tall, and that was a door to go down into there. And but the rest of it was just that foundation. Now, I admit I never talked to those people, and did not know them at all, and possibly that's all they were planning on building. But all indications were it was a project that was started but never was finished. But you know, the Lord had a project. And he went to the cross. He paid our sin debt. He was buried, and he rose again, and he finished the project. And you and I, tonight, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, have a sure foundation. We have an inheritance, which is undefiled. You know, when on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." Our sin debt was paid. We are kept. We have eternal security. Not by keeping certain standards, not by faithfully serving the Lord. Now, these are important. They ought to be a part of our life, but that's not what gives us eternal security. The only thing that gives us eternal security is Christ's finished work, not just on the cross, but overcoming the grave. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. He'll carry it to completion. It says here, we are kept. It's a military term that Peter uses here. Speaking about a garrison within a city. We are garrisoned. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aristus The king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. Paul uses the same word in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are kept. We're guarded by the greatest force. There is no greater power than the power of God. And he keeps us secure. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Our inheritance is of value because we are, will ever be alive to receive it. In Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We have that security as we place our trust continually in the Lord. The blessing of the resurrection gives us something better, more beautiful, greater to look forward to. You know, I had the joy of being in some beautiful homes, some common homes, been in a couple of castles. I don't think any of them are compared. You know, what is going to make heaven so great? Little Herkimer came home from school one day, and the neighbor lady was there. And he ran in and hugged his mom, and he said, Mom, I love our house. And the neighbor lady says, Herkimer, how about my house? You love my house? And he said, no. She said, well, my house and your house are built exactly the same. They have the same floor plan and everything. He says, why do you love your house and not mine? He says, because Mom's in my house. Heaven's going to be great because Christ is there. The one who paid the price for my sins and provided for me eternal salvation. And these truths, when we have an inheritance, are placed in the very presence of the Lord, and it's ours. Through the mercy and grace of our sacrificial lamb, reserved by our almighty, powerful Savior. And these truths enables the believer to rejoice in the face of trials, difficulties, even in the face of the hopelessness of this world. We have a living hope. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for your sacrifice, that which paid the price for my sins and gave me forgiveness. But Lord, we're thankful that when they put you in the grave, that grave could not contain you. But you rose again as you said you would. And tonight, we have a living hope that's indestructible, never fade away, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice in that tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.